You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
You're listening to Real Adventures, talking all things fishing, boating, and the great outdoors for Razorback 4x4, Australia's best four-wheel drive sea covers with protection like no other. And Club Marine. Need insurance for your boat or jet ski? Discover why boating's just better with Club Marine.
It's now time for All Aboard for Club Marine. Need insurance for your jet ski or boat? Discover why boating's just better with Club Marine. And our special guest this morning, celebrating 20 years of iFish, is Australia's most recognisable angler, Paul Worsley. Good morning, PW.
Good morning, Patrick. I'm glad you reminded me, 20 years. It feels like 50.
Could you imagine 20, or, you know, it's probably a little further than that, 21, 22, like in terms of, geez, I wonder if I could do it myself. And then you start the show and 20-odd years later, it's changed your life.
Look, it is absolutely incredible. As a little boy growing up, you dreamt of playing footy, I assume, and I just dreamt of having a fishing TV show and just being recognised for something I loved. And I would have been happy with 20 seconds of fishing television. If you had said, I'll give you 20 seconds on TV, I would have taken it with both hands. So 20 years, man, what a journey. And I have been reminiscing. There's been some very, very good times, some tough times as well. But, man, it's been a fun journey.
I was thinking during the week, just you mentioned reminiscing. I remember watching an iFish, and I think it was a Haynes Hunter you were fishing out of, twin Evinrude E-Tex back when they were, I'm talking the white Evinrude E-Tex in really early 2000 sort of thing. Can you remember the boats that you've had throughout your time? Like, how many are there? You're running out of hands and feet.
Mate, I am, and I've actually been very fortunate. I've been with almost every outboard manufacturer during that time. It started, it was almost Mercury, and then it wasn't, and then it was Honda, and then it went to Evinrude. I think then it was Suzuki, then it was Yamaha, then it was Suzuki, and these are all, times change. I dead set thought Evinrude was the best thing on the planet, and it turned out not to be, and I make... But you don't know at the time. You only know what you know at that time. So you do the best you can. And I call those engines Stormtrooper 1 and Stormtrooper 2. And I loved every second, never had a problem with them. And it's just been a journey. It was a Haynes Hunter originally, a 560F from memory, a beautiful fiberglass boat. It was probably the second boat I owned. The first was Seafarer Victory. And then it's been a run of Stavycraft. I think there was a 659, another 659, a 2400. And then onto the Extreme 795 Game King, a 605 Game King, a new 795 Game King just arrived. And it's that classic story, Pat, you've got to crawl before you can walk, before you can run, and you've got to evolve. But I've loved every second, and I wouldn't give up any mistake I've made.
Speaking of, you know, that transition, the making of the mistakes, talk us through the risk with, all right, let's give it a crack. Let's actually try and build a show, build a supporter base, build a, for one of the part, you need the partners to actually pay for the thing. How nervous was the beginning of investing in something that you don't know you're going to get any sort of return?
Absolutely terrifying. And I think everybody has the same problem that I still have to this day. Very few people believe in themselves enough. And it's very hard to believe in yourself because you're always a self-doubter. Will I make it? Will I get there? And you just have to put everything on the line and go, I'm going to do this. And my famous quote was, I think it was like, what I lack in experience, I will make up for with enthusiasm. And I just worked and worked and I had nothing else. And I remember going to companies for the first year of iFish back in 2004. And I was saying to them, well, we're going to be the biggest of the best. And It's not even a thing. And I said, yeah, but we're going to make it a thing. Everything I've ever touched turns to gold. You want to be on this? You need to back the... And I just backed myself. And it's been amazing. Like, John Dumphy back in the day backed me for the very first series with Shimano. Pat Levy backed me for the very first series. We were Neville nobody, and he still sponsors my show today. So it's been beautiful to actually pay back and have a great relationship with these people who backed us from day one. And you know what? Who's going to be the next Patrick Dangerfield? Who's going to be the next Paul Worsley? They've got to be out there. You've just got to be the one that can find them and back them.
I've been fortunate enough to have done a few fishing trips with you throughout the years. Can you take us to, and generally how it works, for those listening at home, it's at least a three-day mission. There's no such thing as producing a TV show in half an hour. That doesn't exist, Peter. But in terms of the effort to go to different places, has there been a show where you thought, we are screwed here, we've got no fish, and then all of a sudden at the 11th hour, things have changed and it's turned into one of those sort of bucket list, you know, trips where it came together, but very, very late?
Yes. About 511 of them. There'd be more, but one that just springs to mind, I'll never forget fishing off Greymouth in New Zealand. We fished for 37 hours. It was a one-week trip overseas to catch one fish. And 37 hours.
Is this the tuna trip?
It is, mate.
Yes, I remember this episode, yeah.
Oh, yep. So 37 hours. I hadn't slept. I sat in the chair. I was having V's and Red Bulls, and I think the deckies were having something else. And my producer at the time walked up, and he said to me, Paul, what's plan B? And I said, mate, there is no plan B. We need to catch this fish. And after 45 hours, we were done. And literally, we saw the arch on the sounder at 40 metres, put styrofoam inside the blue grenadier baits to make them swim and float more naturally. I'd hidden my hooks inside the bait. I'd done everything I could. And this fish literally ate the bait on the sounder, just like a show that would come later, the tuna shows in America. Ate off the sounder. That fish went 605 pounds. Was the most famous fish in the world for a week. It was on every country in the world. I did a live cross from Singapore a week later, and it was just one of those things that went from absolute zero to absolute hero within 1 second, and that's why you just got to keep backing yourself, and if you keep trying, eventually even peanuts like me might come to trump.
The evolution of the show has clearly been the family element for you, and Jet's grown up on TV. Whether that's a good, bad, or indifferent thing, that's just been his life. How's that been with the family dynamic of, you know, you go on the trips and then you come home and then managing school now, and clearly he's got a huge passion for fishing.
His passion for fishing makes me look like I don't care about it. It is it's frustrating because he just never stops talking fishing, which is a beautiful thing. And an interesting thing happened in Tassie over the holidays. Apart from fishing 28 times a day for 30 days, he actually overstepped his dad. He's now over 6 foot tall and taller than me, so that dynamic's changed too. But it's been a beautiful thing to be able to actually enjoy something as a family, travel the world and live that together. I think it's probably the best blessing we could have ever had. And we've always said if TV ever ruins our family dynamic, or we ever end up with a family we're not happy with because of the pressures of the outside world, we'll walk away tomorrow. And that hasn't happened yet. If it ever does, we'll be gone. But it's actually been really nice. We're blessed. Where you've met amazing people. So far, we've got a very well-rounded son, and he absolutely loves fishing, so I think we're in a pretty good place.
Before I let you go, you fish with some incredible people throughout your time, but probably the one that I can remember who sort of almost took your breath away, and you're not speechless often, the celebrity of Robson Green and his passion for fishing.
Mate, what a legend. Like, dead set, they say you should never meet your heroes because you're probably going to be disappointed. I've loved Robson because Jet grew up from 2 years old watching him on TV, watched every episode. And when I met Robson, he was better in real life than he ever could have been. We formed a wonderful friendship. He's such a champion. It was a proud moment. Christy, myself and Jet taking him out fishing, catching tuna together and just enjoying that. And it's so nice to be able to communicate and talk to people who you've admired throughout your life. And I think that's where I'm very lucky too. I can talk to some pretty cool people, get some awesome feedback. But that was one moment that if I put all the moments together, Patrick, apart from fishing with you, of course.
of course, absolutely.
That's number one, two, and three. Robson's a very close fourth.
Well, I Fish with BCF, hosted by the one and only Paul Worsling, is, of course, airing right throughout 2024, along with Jet and Paul's beautiful wife, Christy. It's the number one fishing show on TV. Ten Bold is where you can catch it. PW, thank you so much for your time this morning on Real Adventures.
Pleasure, mate. Talk very soon.